Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that I've spent a lot of time over the last year really belaboring one point, and that is the gospel truth, the truth of how the entire universe came into being. But it's an essential truth for us to know and believe. Because if we can't believe the very first three chapters of the Bible as being God's word, then how could we take the rest of it? But it's the truth. God is the only one who knows exactly what happened because he was there. And so if he says, I created the entire universe, the heavens and the earth, in six natural days, then we better believe it. God creates, speaking out of nothing, ex nihilo, everything that is. And on the seventh day, he rests. Not because God needs to rest, he doesn't need sleep, but because his prized creation does. God did not create you to work 24/7. You cannot stay up multiple nights in a row forever. Believe me, I went to college, I tried it. It doesn't work. Your body shuts down. God desires you to rest. And to find that rest, we find it in the Lord. Now, it is true that as God created that first week, the Sabbath day, the day of rest, as Sabbath means, was Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. So why do we as Christians gather on Sunday mornings? That is because Christ's resurrection sets everything anew. On that very first Sunday of his resurrection, the church is gathered. And the church would gather every Sunday morning afterward to celebrate his resurrection, that day of new creation. We have a commandment still in the Christian church: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. I desire your presence each and every week. And I desire it because God desires it. He desires to see your face in his house each and every week, that he might proclaim to you what he has done and give you his gifts. The Sabbath day, now being Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown, is a time for Christians to rest. And that rest is found in the Lord. So we gather. We come and we hear his word. We sing his praises. We rejoice as a family. That is the rule. That is the law. And sometimes there are exceptions to the law. Too often in our modern society, we try to take the exceptions to the rules and make those the rules. But this is not the intention. Say, for instance, on your way to church this morning, you would have been driving past a man who was broken and beaten on the side of the road, half dead. Now, the Bible tells you, you are to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You should go to church. But in that case, is it not better to stop and help that man? It is. He is in need. When you see your neighbor in need, you are to do what you can to assist. And so sometimes there can be exceptions to the rules. But when we make the exception into the rule, we lose sight of why God orders the things that he does. Jesus heals on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees believe this to be work. They believe that this is breaking their commandment. That is God's commandment to rest on the Sabbath day. Remember it, keeping it holy. But Jesus is still working in that realm. He takes a man who is broken and he heals him. On Sunday mornings, Jesus does that here too. Broken not in body, but broken in spirit. Jesus had been accused time and time again by the Pharisees. In fact, the Pharisees were keeping a list of all the things that they didn't like about Jesus. All the things that he had done that they didn't agree with. He had done things differently than they wanted him to do, and they were keeping a list. They were watching him closely, our text says. Jesus had to constantly defend himself. And now here in our gospel lesson, he goes on the offense. He sees this man. He has been invited to this dinner with the Pharisees. He is gathered with them, and he sees a man with dropsy. Now, dropsy is typically believed to be a disease similar to edema that fills the body with fluid like water. Now, today we might have water pills to help cut that down, but in those days, that was not seen. And so Jesus sees this man at the lowest seat at the table, a man who had been ostracized, a man who might have been mocked and made fun of because he looked differently than the healthy people. And so Jesus knows what he's going to do. He goes on the offense. He says to them, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He knew what they were going to say, and he also knew what he was going to do. They keep silent, and so he takes the man, and he heals him of his dropsy, and he makes him whole. And then Jesus answers them with a question. He says, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" We have rules. We have laws. They're good for us to follow. And there are times when exceptions must be made to benefit others. Jesus had healed this man. He'd gone on the offense, and they could not answer him regarding these things. Then Jesus tells a parable about a wedding feast. Seeing how they arrange themselves, he goes after that too. He says, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you has to come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place." If you're married, or if you've ever been to a wedding reception, typically they make seating charts. And I thank God that Stephanie took care of that for our own wedding. Because it's not easy, right? You got to make sure that crazy Uncle Bob doesn't sit next to crazy Aunt Jane. You got to make sure that people with completely different politics can't sit at the same table because they will argue all night long. You have to make sure that the pastor is far enough away from everybody so he doesn't make everybody uncomfortable all night while he's talking about Jesus while they're trying to dance. It's a tricky thing to do that seating arrangement. There's a head table where the wedding party sits. You are usually going to place the bride's parents and the groom's parents at tables close to that head table. There are places of honor. Jesus has taken a man that was placed at the lowest and raised him up. He does that still today. Sometimes in the church, we fall back into this. We see a man who might look different than us, and we judge him. Surely this man can't really be a Christian. Look at him. The world has weighed him down. I thank God every day that my parents brought me to the font as an infant. I thank God that they raised me in the church. That week after week we went to church. We went to Sunday school. That day after day we prayed together. We read God's word. But that isn't the case for everyone. Sometimes people might be raised in the church and fall away. Sometimes people might have never been to a church at all. And yet in their brokenness, in a world that has turned so cold to them, they have heard God's call. And his call was to come, to approach his wedding banquet. To come to church, to be cleansed of your iniquities, and to be restored and placed higher. You see, this very day, all of us who are sinners, regardless if we've been Christians our whole life or not, approach a table, a high table, a table that is set up as a foretaste of the wedding feast that has no end. And here, the bridegroom also gives us the supper of his own body and blood. He says, I have taken up my cross, the cross that all of us deserve because of our sins. And I have taken it, and I have been nailed to it, and I have suffered and died so that your sins are covered. The font washes you clean. A wedding garment is placed upon you. God's holy absolution is proclaimed to you. And that when you approach this table, you receive this forgiveness. The gift that Jesus has to give. So whether you've been a Christian your whole life or not, whether you've been away from church for a long time or not, hear God's call. Let him wash over your sins and return you to his table that you might rejoice without end. The church sings. Seek whom you may to be your stay. None can redeem his brother. All helpers failed. This man prevailed, the God-man and none other. Our servant king of whom we sing, we're justified because he died, the guilty being guiltless. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.